All right. Good morning. Good morning. It's nice to be here. So, Des did ask me, called me Wednesday and asked me if I'd teach again. And I said, sure. I just grabbed something that I went over with our folks last Sunday. If you would, get out your Bibles and open up to Genesis chapter 1. So I'm going to be working off a PowerPoint here for, is this mic on? There, that's probably better. I think I turned it off by accident. Genesis chapter 1. So I'm going to be working off a PowerPoint here, and the title for the study is up there. I'm going to be talking about some things about the orthography of the King James Bible, and then we want to look specifically at some things about are the words "thoroughly" and "thoroughly" different words. Now, the reason this has come about is there's a lot of things that have been said. Why don't you also get Genesis chapter 1 and also get 2 Timothy chapter 3. As Des said, I've been working on some studies related to the King James Bible, and there's some things that folks have said. Let me just be clear at the start. I'm a King James Bible believer, okay? I believe that the King James Bible is God's Word for English-speaking people. And as a King James Bible believer, I'm very concerned with how we explain what we believe. That what we say to people when we talk to them about what we believe about this issue is accurate, that it is in line with the historical and the textual facts, and that we're not saying things that we can't prove, that we can't substantiate, okay? So the title is up there, and we're going to be looking at some things. So why don't you go to 2 Timothy, why don't you mark Genesis and 2 Timothy, and we'll get right into this here. So what I'm going to share with you is a little, teeny little part of a paper that I've been working on related to some of the words in the King James Bible. And there's things that people have said about those words. For example, the words "alway" and "always." The words "ensample" and "example." The words "stablish" and "establish." King James Bible believers have said that those are different words, that they don't mean the same thing, and that there's a lot of things that have been said about those words. So I started looking at this a few years back in 2011 when we had all the conferences around the country related to the King James Bible. There was a lot of preaching that went on, and I did a seminar at the conference in Chicago on inerrancy in the King James Bible, and I want to start with sharing with you some of those sorts of things. So let's look at what orthography is, okay? The dictionary defines orthography as the art of writing words with the proper letters according to common usage. The part of grammar which treats of the nature and properties of letters and of the art of writing words correctly, the practice of spelling or writing words with proper letters. So you say, well, why are you bringing this up? Well, let's just look at the 1611. So this is Genesis chapter 1. On the left, you see a picture, a photograph of that page out of a 1611 King James Bible. I have one right here if you want to look at it afterwards. And then what I did, because you obviously can't read that, is I've reproduced the 1611 to the right so you can see what I'm talking about. So I'm going to read from this. You follow. Let's just make some comparisons. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? It says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." How is heaven spelled up there? H-E-A-U-E-N. How is it spelled in your Bible that you have in front of you? H-E-A-V-A-N. Okay, so is there a difference in 1611 between how the word heaven is spelled? Is it the same word? Another thing I'll point out to you, if you look up there in the 1611, that the H on heaven is also what? It's also capitalized. Is it capitalized in the Bible that you have in front of you? Okay, so let me just be clear so that you understand what I'm referring to. The Bible that you have in front of you is a 1769 edition. The Bible that's on the screen is a 1611 edition. It's the original King James Bible, the original text. So if you just start looking at how some of these words are spelled, if you go to the next verse, look how they spell "form." They put an E on the end of it. Okay? Look how they spell "void." V-O-Y-D, not V-O-I-D. You just go through here. Look, darkness, upon, deep, moved, You can see here very clearly that are they spelling the words the same way that we spell the words today? But does anybody dispute the fact or doubt whether or not those are the same words? Those are the same words. Those are just the old what? The old spellings of those words. What you have in front of you in the 1769 edition is an updating of the spelling. So what happens in any language through time, as the language moves through time and is developed, the conventions, the orthography of how to spell words and how to spell them properly, how to capitalize them and all that sort of thing, and when to capitalize them and what the rules of that grammar is going to be, it changes as the language develops. So you see that here if you just look at Genesis chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to read down through that whole thing because I think you get the fundamental point that I'm wanting you to see there, okay? So, a few things to point out here. So look at verse 14. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 14. Your Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And God said, let there be lights on the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." If you look here at the 1611 in Genesis 1:14, the word "be" is spelled two different ways in the same verse. Okay, right there it's spelled B-E-E, and right there it's spelled B-E. Okay, same word, different what? Different spelling. Now you could say, well, why would that be? Well, you have a few options. Option one would be that they made a printer error and they accidentally put too many E's in the first one. That's one option. The other option is that, no, there was a convention at the time that spelled that word with how many E's? With two E's, okay? Let's look at some more examples here. Come over to John chapter 3. Go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here we see that within three verses of each other, the word "only" is spelled two different ways. John chapter 3, if you would look at verse John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So if you look there in verse 16, how's "only" spelled? O-N-L-Y, the way that you and I would spell it today. But if you go two verses later, look at verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So if you go in the 1611 to verse 18, look how they spell "only." It's spelled differently than it is two verses earlier. Okay, so you need to understand that there's no standard orthography. There's no standard rules in 1611 for how some of these words are spelled. But when you look at that, whether it's spelled that way or that way, is it still conveying the same idea to you? Okay? Is it changing the meaning of the verses to spell it with an E or not spell it with an E? It's not changing the meaning of the verse at all. Another example, drop down to verse 31. Here you see, again, the same word spelled two different ways in the same verse. John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all. If you look at the first part, they spell the first cometh, C-O-M-M-E-T-H. And then if you go to the end of the verse, it says, he that cometh from heaven is above all. And at the end of the verse, they spell it C-O-M-E-T-H, and they drop the other M. So there's not uniform spelling on these words, even in the 1611 itself, within the same verses, within the same contexts and same passages. One more, go to Mark 10. Now, I'm just giving you four examples here. There are a bunch of examples that we could look at if we had more time and if we were trying to be exhaustive, but frankly, that'd get boring pretty quick probably. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. "And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Now look at how verse 23 spells kingdom of God. It adds an E on the end of kingdom. Alright? Then if you go to the next verse, I'm sorry, that was verse 23. If you go to the next verse, "And the disciples were astonished at his words, because Jesus answereth again and saith unto the children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" So in verse 24, kingdom is spelled without the E. So again, we have these, we don't have uniform spelling in the 1611 King James Bible. That is largely due to the fact that the the orthography of the language had not worked itself out to a point where they were using standard spellings. Now I have a question. Does any of that stuff there alter the content of what that 1611 Bible is teaching? It doesn't. Now, you understand, if you're going to say that it does, and it has to be the same across, the spelling has to be the same, are you going to have a problem then? Okay? So, these are just some preliminary points here that I want you to consider. So, by 1769, the spellings of these words had become standardized, and the text read accordingly, B in Genesis 1, only in John 3, cometh also in John 3, and kingdom in Mark 10. So despite the varied orthography exhibited above, no King James Bible believer views these updates in spelling as altering the doctrinal content of the text. When this 1769 edition smooths all those issues out and spells the words uniformly and so forth, nobody would think that this Bible is substantively teaching something different in those instances than this one right here. Okay? It's just the normal process of the updating that occurs within a language. So, other orthographical changes occurred in the English language between 1611 and 1769. One of them is the issue of how to capitalize, what words should be capitalized, and what the rules should be. You remember on the first slide I showed you that in Genesis 1:1, the 1611 had heaven with a capital H, right? And in your Bible, it's not capitalized, it's a lowercase h. For example, due to the influence of German, which capitalizes all nouns on the English language, and the 1611 capitalizes many nouns that were not capitalized later on. The typeface of the original 1611 was Gothic font. If you look at this, most of you probably look at this and view it as highly sort of unreadable. Just as the typeface itself, right? This is Gothic font. Gothic font is a German type font. So the influence of German on the English language meant that in 1611, a lot of words were capitalized that we now have decided later on don't need to be capitalized. So therefore it makes sense that many of these words would have originally been capitalized in the 1611. So let me show you that, okay? A couple examples. So in the 1611, all good angels, the A is capitalized. So if the passage is understood to be referring to a good angel, they will capitalize the A on angels. If the passage is understood to be referring to a demon or a member of Satan's minions, if you will, the A on angel is always lowercase. Now, in your 1611, in your Bible, angel is always now spelled with a lowercase a. Same thing with all these other words here. Fast. The verb fast in the 1611 was capitalized. Why? Because it was capitalized in German. And German was heavily influencing the English language at that time. Later on in 1769, they did that with the lowercase. And the same with all of these examples here that I have. And again, these are just a few examples that we could consider on this particular point. But I want to show you this so that you can see what I'm talking about. So this is from Matthew 25:31, and you can see there that it says, and all the holy angels. So those are good angels, and so they capitalize A on angels. If you go to verse 41, you'll see it's referring to the devil and his what? Angels. The A is not capitalized in that case, because it's viewed as referring, because of who it's referring to. One more example here about Romans 1:15, you can see right there that apostleship has a capital A on it. Okay? If you go to that verse in your 1769 edition, that verse is not going to have that word with a capital A, it's going to have it with a lowercase a. Now, does anybody have any questions about any of that at this point? That should be pretty straightforward stuff, it seems to me. Does anybody get all bent out of shape about that difference? It doesn't seem to me that anybody does. All King James Bible believers understand that those sorts of differences within the King James text exist. What makes people a little bit more uncomfortable is what we're going to look at next. The thing that you need to understand is that there are more differences in the various editions of the King James Bible than simply the correction of printer errors, the updating of spelling and punctuation. So, I have a chart. We're not going to have time to look at all of these. But if you start at the top, Numbers chapter 3, the 1611 reads, "Mine they shall be." The 1769 says, "Mine shall they be." Is there any difference in meaning? Is there a difference in the word order?
Yes.
Number 731 omits the phrase "of the way of." We should go look at that. Go to Numbers chapter 7, look at verse 31. So this is a case where a phrase is missing. Number 731. Year 1769 says his offering was one silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels of silver. Okay? The 1611 does not have the phrase "of the weight of." So the 1769 has a phrase in it that this one doesn't. Okay? Now again, I would challenge you to study that verse, right? And I think if you study that verse, you'll realize that, yeah, the phrase "of the weight of" is missing in the 1611, and it's in a 1769, but does it change the substantive doctrinal content of what that verse is teaching? I know I have had the benefit of looking at these things ahead of time, and you folks haven't. But these are some of the things that exist. In 1 Kings, oh, here's another one. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. The 1611 has neighbors plural. The 1769 has neighbor singular. Again, if you study that, you'll see that the singular or the plural is irrelevant to whether or not that to the doctrinal content of that passage. It's just the difference that exists. In 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 15, we see the phrase "the conspiracy" in the 1611 and "his conspiracy" in 1769. So there are some of these sorts of things that you need to be aware of, that these sorts of differences that exist between the 1611 and the 1769. Now let me just say this. It was not until 2011 that I was aware of this. Because what I had always been taught up to this point, up till 2011, was that the only differences that existed in the different editions of the King James Bible is spelling, printer errors, and punctuation. And then I read a book called A Textual History of the King James Bible, which went through literally a bunch of these sorts of things that demonstrates these wording differences that exist between the 1611 and the standard text that we use today in 1769. Now let me spend some time on the last example here. Go over to the book of Jude. Go over to Jude. Now at first, I'll be honest, I was alarmed. And some of you might be alarmed right now. But then it occurred to me that what we need to do in our study of this is we need to understand the difference between a substantive difference in meaning and a different way of saying the same thing. There's a difference between a substantive difference in meaning and a different way of saying the same thing. So I want to look at Jude 25, okay? So I have the 1611 up there. Look at Jude chapter 25. It says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, now and ever. What word is not in the 1611? Both. Okay? The word "both" is not there. Now, is that a problem? Some on the surface might be upset about that. They might be, they might say, "Oh well, now you're changing the Word of God." Well, first of all, just understand, I'm not changing anything. I'm just telling you what's here. Okay, these are the facts. So we have to figure out a way that we can understand the facts in light of, you know, what we believe. Okay, because we can't just stick our head in the sand and pretend like this stuff doesn't exist, because it does. But if you look at that, okay, the year 1769 says, at the end of verse 25, it says, "Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever." The 1611 doesn't have the word "both." Does it matter? If I say sentence one, if I threw the ball to, if I threw, Excuse me. I threw the ball to Andrew and Daniel. If I say I threw the ball to both Andrew and Daniel, does it make a difference whether or not the word both is there? Does that still communicate the same information? Even though it does not possess identical wording. Okay? The wording is not verbatim. The wording is not exactly the same. It doesn't have a complete identicality of wording. It's not exactly the same, but the idea that's expressed, there's no change in the idea. So there is no substantive difference in meaning between these two statements. Rather, they're different ways of saying the same thing without exhibiting verbatim wording. So it is with Jude 25, as well as with the rest of examples provided in the table. King James Bible believers must be willing to concede that the demand for exact sameness in the printed editions of the King James Bible is excessive if they wish to maintain their position in the face of criticism. We cannot pretend like these things don't exist. We have to have what? We have to have an answer for them. The answer for them, as I have determined it for myself, is to understand that there's a difference between a substantive difference in meaning and a different way of saying the same thing. So let me illustrate this for you. What if I just said I threw the ball to Andrew? What then?
You subtracted something.
Now, is that a substantive difference in meaning?
Yes.
Yes. If I say I threw the ball to Daniel, period, substantive difference in meaning. But if I say I threw the ball to Andrew and Daniel, there's no difference between saying that and saying I threw the ball to both Andrew and Daniel. Now, what you need to understand is that your modern versions come along and they make the type of alterations that do change the substantive content of what the Bible is teaching. So when they drop whole verses out, when they drop whole phrases out, when they make those kinds of changes, those are substantively affecting the doctrinal content of what the Bible has to say. These types of things that we need to understand and acknowledge within the King James, the textual history of the King James Bible, yeah, they're real, but we need to understand that they don't alter the doctrinal teaching, even though the wording is not verbatim or identical. And does everybody see the problem here? What is going to happen if you're going to demand exact sameness in the King James Bible? This one has the word both. This one doesn't. So if I'm going to adopt the standard of exact sameness, what am I going to have to do? Yeah.
You won't be able to translate. From one language to another, say from Latin to English.
Okay, you might have some change. You might have some issues like that. I'm thinking of a more practical consequence. If I have to say that they both have to be identical, verbatim, exact wording, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to declare which one of these is the inerrant one to the exclusion of the other. So which one is it? Which one has Jude 25 right? Do we have to have both? Do we have to have both? Do we not have to have both? Or are they both saying the same thing even though they don't have verbatim or identical wording? Okay? So you have to, I think, for me, that's where the answer lies. It's in understanding what is the nature of the difference. Is the nature of the difference creating a substantive difference in meaning in the text, or is it just a different way of saying the exact same thing? Is everybody with that? Any questions about that? When is this over at? Okay. I don't think you want to be in a position, folks, where you're going to have to declare which one is the inerrant one. And by the way, who's going to make that declaration? Well, Brother Des comes along and he says, listen, man, you got to go with the original 1611. The original 1611 is best, right? And then somebody else comes along and says, no, I'm going to have this one, 1769, right? And now all of a sudden you have a problem. And the problem is, look, it's a fact. I just showed you that it's a fact that the difference is there, right? So then how are we going to deal with it? What I'm trying to do is show you a way to work yourself through that understanding, okay? I have 20 minutes left to try to cover one more point. Does anybody have any questions about that? Then if you would, go to 2 Timothy. Folks, I will readily admit to you that this is like technical stuff, and this is the kind of stuff that I get a lot of enjoyment out of looking at. And so if you're not sharing my excitement, I guess I'll understand that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, does anybody have a Bible that in verse 17 does not say thoroughly, that says thoroughly? No one? Okay. There are printed editions of the King James Bible that say, that change thoroughly there to thoroughly. You know, Dez has got this business now thoroughly furnished, right? When he went to you type the word thoroughly into Microsoft Word, flags it and switches it to thoroughly. Okay? So, it is commonly held by King James Bible believers that these are different words and that they have a completely different meaning. Okay? It's commonly taught that thoroughly is an inside-out type of work. That it starts on the inside and it works its way out through you. I can't tell you how many messages I've heard and how the material that I've read on this where guys will spend a lot of time talking about that difference, right? Whereas thoroughly is said to be an outside-in type of a work, right? So there's a perception that's out there that these words are different words and that they don't mean the same thing. And so when you would encounter a King James Bible that would change the word thoroughly to thoroughly in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 17, then you need to get rid of the Bible that the one that does thoroughly there instead of thoroughly, the perception is that that's a perversion, that that's a mistake, that that shouldn't be that way, and that if you want a pure addition, you need to get an addition that has the word thoroughly in it. So there's that perception that's out there. So what I want to do is spend some time looking at that and trying to understand that. So the idea that Bibles that change thoroughly to thoroughly, they're viewed as corruptions, as I just said, and you could make the same arguments for the following pairs of words, and I'm sure there are others too. That Bibles that change all way to all ways and sample to example or establish to establish, that those are all corruptions and that they shouldn't be that way. Look, let's just look at that for a minute. How many differences are there between all way and all ways? In spelling. One letter. Okay? Did anybody think when kingdom was spelled K-I-N-G-D-O-M-E that was different than K-I-N-G-D-O-M? How many differences exist between the spelling of these two words? Two. This has an E and an S. This one has an X. Here, the only difference is the fact that this one has an E on the front of it, and this one what? This one doesn't. So let's talk about this. So, this is every occurrence, just about. The 1611. Why don't you turn to Genesis chapter 11. Folks, if we're gonna say that thoroughly and thoroughly are completely different words, we have way more problems than we realize. And let me try to show you why. Genesis chapter 11, verse 3. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them how? Thoroughly. Right? What did the 1611 say? The 1611 said thoroughly. Yours says what? Thoroughly. Now, I'll prove to you in a minute that spelling is the old spelling of thoroughly. Just bear with me for a minute. Then we have this example though. In Exodus chapter 21 verse 19, the 1611 said thoroughly, and the 1769 switched it to what? Switched it to thoroughly. We have another example here in 2 Kings 11:18 where the 1611 had "throughly" and the 1769 switches it to what? To "thoroughly." And then we have this one down here in Luke chapter 3 where the 1611 again, the original one, said "thoroughly" again and they switch it to what? Now does everybody see the problem? If those are two different words that don't mean the same thing, then somebody please tell me which one of these is the inerrant one. Because "thoroughly" appears twice here, that switched to "throughly" here, and "throughly" appears twice here, and it switched to "thoroughly" here. So if those words don't mean the same thing, do we have more problems than we want? And again, what's that going to force you to do? That's going to force you to declare which one of these is what? Which one of these is right, and which one of them is what? Wrong. Which you can't do in this case because both of them do it the same way. So it's a real issue here. The Oxford English Dictionary defines this spelling, "throughly," as an obsolete spelling of, this is the old spelling, excuse me, of "thoroughly." So twice the 1611 had "thoroughly," switched it to "throughly," and twice the 1611 had "throughly" and switched it to "thoroughly." So does everybody see the problem here if you're gonna dig your heels in on that particular point? So, as I just show, you need to see this for yourself. Genesis 11:3, okay? There's "thoroughly." Luke 3:17, there's "thoroughly." It was switched in the 1769 in both those spots to read "throughly." And then here we originally see here "throughly" in both Exodus 21 and also in 2 Kings 11. And here "throughly" in your Bible is switched to read what? "Thoroughly." So, if you start studying the history of these words, which I suppose only dorks like I like to do, the first hint of the word "throughly" found in an English dictionary occurs in a Universal Entomological English Dictionary from 1763. It was written by a guy named Noah Bailey, and notice what it does. The dictionary contains the following entry for the word "through," for which the following definition is provided, for "thorough." So what's that dictionary telling you? That dictionary is telling you that there's no difference in what? There's no difference in meaning, okay? Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language from 1828 defines "throughly," notice, "throughly, complete, fully, wholly, without reserve, sincerely." Now look at this. For this, "thoroughly" is now what? So what's that telling you? That's telling you that "throughly" is an old, archaic way of saying what? Thoroughly. Do those words mean the same thing? Likewise, the British publication, A Dictionary of the English Language from 1828, possesses the following entry for "thoroughly." I'm sorry, that should say "throughly." I gotta fix that. "Throughly," it says, "see what?" See "thoroughly." The Oxford English Dictionary follows suit by stating that "throughly" is an archaic form of "thoroughly," and I want you to look at those definitions side by side. So in the blue here, you see the definition for "throughly." Okay, now let's look at this over here. You see "thoroughly." Notice what it says. See also what? "Thoroughly." Fully, completely, perfectly equals what? "Thoroughly." Go over here. "Thoroughly." See also what? "Thoroughly." Folks, what's the dictionary telling you about those words? They're the same word. Are they spelled differently? Do they have any difference in meaning? Now let me ask you a question. Did any of you get all bent out of shape and all upset when I showed you from a 1611 that it spelled a whole bunch of words differently than your 1769? Nobody got upset about that. You just accepted it, right? So if somebody, I'm not recommending this, don't misunderstand me, but if you did come across a printed copy of a King James Bible and it had switched "throughly" at 2 Timothy 3:17 to "thoroughly," is that a perversion that is altering the meaning of that verse? Not according to the dictionary. Okay? So, as I just said, you need to note that the dictionary clearly identifies thoroughly as the archaic form, and it tells its readers to go see thoroughly, and it instructs them, if you go to thoroughly, it instructs them to see also, it instructs them to see also thoroughly. One more dictionary, an etymological dictionary of the English language from 1881 by Skeet, contains the following. It's for thorough. It says going through and through, complete, entire. It is merely a later form of the preposition through. So the dictionary, I don't care which one you're going to look at. If you look down here, the use of the adjective probably arose from the use of throughly or thoroughly as an adjective in place of the adverbial use of through or thorough. So there's no difference here. Now, let get two passages and then I'll see if there's time for questions. Get 2 Timothy 2 again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 again, and get Genesis chapter 11 again. Okay, so the 1611 has it one way twice. The 1769 switches it. The 1611 has it the other way twice, and the 1769 switches it. So on that basis alone, if you're going to say they're different words, are you going to have to declare which one is the inerrant one to the exclusion of the other? If it has to be that way, and it has to have identical wording. Okay? The other thing I want you to see, second, is that the dictionary does not bear out that those are two totally different words that don't mean the same thing. We looked at six or seven different dictionaries dating all the way back to the 1700s to prove that. All right? Almost more importantly, that stuff is all important, but the other thing is, if I'm going to adopt the understanding that truly means from the inside out, and I'm going to take that definition, which, by the way, did any of the dictionaries say that? No, none of them said that, which tells you that that definition was invented to try to maintain a standard of exact sameness. So instead of doing some research and looking back into things, a definition was invented for what that word meant to make it fit. And that's what I want to end with here. So look at verse 17, 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Is that passage talking about God's Word working in the believer? It absolutely is. So in that passage, which, by the way, would be the passage that would flag somebody to the difference here, okay? Because there are some printings that change that to thoroughly instead of throughly. But in this passage here, in this context, is it talking about the Word doing a work on the inside of the believer and working its way out? Yes. The problem, though, with defining the Word that way is then you run into a bunch of screwy things if you take that manufactured definition and try to apply it other places. Okay? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go, let us make brick and burn them. How? Now wait a minute. When they were burning bricks for the Tower of Babel, did they burn them from the inside out? You can't. They burned them how? They burned them from the outside in, right? Exactly what that definition. So in other words, if I adopt that private definition for throughly, and I go over to this verse and I try to apply it there, do I end up with utter nonsense? So what's easier? It's easier to just understand that those two words mean what? The same thing. Okay? They're talking about... I already said that. It's far easier to understand that when they burn the brick, they're not burning the brick from the inside out, nor are they burning them necessarily from the... Well, they are, you know, from a physical sense, burning them from the outside in, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking that they burned them all the way what? All the way through. What is 2 Timothy talking about? It's talking about that the man of God may be perfect truly, totally, wholly, all the way through, furnished unto what? All good works. So, if I could just recap a few points here. Number one, there's no uniformity in spelling in the 1611. Number two, there are differences between the editions of the King James that go beyond simply spelling, printer errors, and punctuation. Number three, the way that you deal with that, I think, is you understand that there's a difference between a different way of saying the same thing and a substantive difference in meaning. The reason I reject modern versions is because they substantively differ to the point that the doctrinal content is altered in those Bibles. Okay? And then we looked at a case study using the words throughly and thoroughly, and we could do the same thing for these other words here. Alway, and sample, example, all that sort of stuff. We could do the same thing we just did for thoroughly and throughly. We could do the same thing for those words. So we understand that, number one, in the King James Bible, there's not identical wording on thoroughly and thoroughly. Number two, the dictionary does not support the idea that thoroughly means from the inside out. And number three, when you actually look at and try to apply those definitions other places, you end up with readings and understandings that just aren't going to work. And the reason they're not going to work is because the definition that's been used to describe the supposed difference isn't a real definition. It's been made up. Now, before you get upset at me for criticizing somebody for doing that, let me just say, I understand why they did it. They did it because the Bible's being attacked, and if they encounter a King James Bible that changes that word there, then they have to try to come up with some reason for why it had to be thoroughly. And so instead of going back and looking at all the material that we just went through, a definition was put forth that doesn't really have any foundation. And if you really take that definition that's put forth and you try to apply it to other places that word occurs, you're going to end up with a mess is what you're going to end up with. So I appreciate everybody sort of bearing with me on that presentation. We have a few minutes for questions. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Where did they get the definitions for thoroughly and thoroughly? Like, how do they pull out outside in and inside out?
If I knew the answer to that, I would love to tell you.
They made it up.
It's completely made up. The same thing with some of these other words that are up here. Just made it up to try to defend that exact word there. This is the first time I've read 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 17, in a public setting, where somebody didn't have a King James Bible that had changed the word thoroughly to thoroughly in verse 17.
Yeah, I've got one thoroughly.
What's that? Yeah. So, yes, it's made up. I'm just trying, look, I have good friends that in the ministry that have said that. And I'm not trying to be uncharitable to them, but what I'm saying is, if you study it out, it's not a legitimate.
Well, you said it makes sense. I'm just wondering where they got the definition. Like, how can they say that this is the definition with no proof to back it up?
Okay, so here's what I think happened. Okay, so you can take this for what it's worth. Some preacher was standing up here preaching from a King James, not here, but in a pulpit. Preaching from a King James Bible, and was saying every word has to be a certain way, right? And they're hammering this point, right? Someone in the audience has a printing that has thoroughly instead of throughly. So they come up after the service and they say, "Preacher, mine doesn't say throughly, mine says thoroughly." Now all of a sudden, what is it? Now he's faced with a conundrum, right? Because he looks at the Bible, it says King James Version on it, but it says thoroughly and not what? And not thoroughly. So now, the point, he's just gone on for an hour making the point about how it has to be a certain way, and now all of a sudden somebody's shown him a King James Bible that doesn't have it that way. You see what I'm saying? So now we gotta give somebody a reason for why it says what it says. And so we just give a reason, and it's maybe not a well-studied out reason. It's just a reason. But my point is, there's no difference between some guy coming to you and saying that in 2016 than there would be in, say, 1800, somebody coming and saying, well, listen, I've got two King James Bibles here that don't have the same word in four places. What are you going to do? Yeah.
I live a very sheltered life, so this is why I've been hearing a little bit about this recently, and I didn't ever think it was an issue, except for the new versions, you know, and they changed the gospel. Is this really out there that this is a problem? I mean, what are people?
Oh yeah.
So what are they doing? What are they doing? I mean, which Bible are they saying? Who's telling them?
So if my I checked my Daniel, can I see your Bible? My son here, we bought him this King James, says right there, KJV, right? If you go to look at this, this is a Holman Bible. Holman Bible Publishers put this out, and I wish I had a document camera or something I could put this on. But verse 17 right here says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Okay? So, yeah, what do you do, right? Practically, what do you do? Well, I can tell you what has been done is, some folks have been told by preachers that King James Bible there is a perversion and they need to go get one from an Oxford or Cambridge press in order to really have the pure Word of God.
So that's archaic, you're saying like archaic?
They're saying that if it doesn't say throughly, and it says thoroughly in that verse, it's not really the Word of God.
Most of those differences, though, like thoroughly there, 2 Timothy 3:17 is from American publications, right?
Yes. So what happens is, this is Holman Bible Publishers is an American publishing house. One of the other misconceptions that's really out there about the King James Bible is that the King James Bible is in the public domain and it was never copyrighted. That's not entirely true, folks. In England, the British Crown still owns the copyright on the King James Bible. In England. In America, it's true that it's in the public domain, but it's not true at all in Great Britain. So the reason why Oxford and Cambridge printed Bibles maintain this same wording all through is because they are only printing based upon the authority of the Crown's copyright, and they can't change it. Because if they change anything, if they update any of the orthography or change the spelling to a more modern spelling, they are violating the Crown's copyright. An American publisher doesn't have that problem. So they can come through and they can start looking at this and say, well, you know, we don't say ensample anymore, we say example and just change it to example. Change how it's spelled. We don't say establish anymore. That's an archaic way of saying establish. And they change every time establish is to establish, right? Yeah. The other thing I just want to say about that is this. This Bible here, this particular Bible, this King James Bible, that this one was printed in... Just give me a minute. This particular one, 1998. In studying this, I've got Bibles all the way back. I've got American printed King James Bibles going all the way back to 1816, within 25 years of the founding of the nation, that have already started making these orthographical changes in American printings of the King James Bible. So this is nothing new. And you see the problem there, right? Are we really at a point in this where we're going to tell people that they got to have a particular Bible printed from a particular press on a particular continent in a certain year in order to have the Word of God? Is that what we're going to do? I don't think we should do that. Yeah.
Psalm 12:5 says the Word of the Lord are pure words. The pure words are just doctrinal content, then, not really the words.
Yeah, see, that's a verse that somebody is going to come along and say, so here's what I'm going to say about that. The stuff that I've covered here are textual facts. Okay, I showed you the pictures and stuff. We can't get away from all this. So then what we have to do is figure out how should we understand it in a way that makes sense and that is in line with what we believe about the Word of God itself. So if somebody's gonna adopt a standard of complete identicality, verbatim wording, exact sameness across the board, you can't do that, or you're gonna have real issues.
Yes. Because if you look between the Greek and look between the English, you have italic words added in there. Those were not in the Greek, but they complete the content of the doctrine.
They're necessary in English to convey the thought. So, we're already past, so I should stop, right? Okay. Thanks for your attention, and appreciate you. What's that?
Thanks, Brian. You guys can talk.